and verse 16. We're going to read it together, even though if you went to Sunday school at all, you can quote it. But it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But let's not stop there. Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And that saved is really talking about being brought back to God. And again, we've said this over and over again, but the value that somebody places on something is the price that they're willing to pay for it. So God really loves you. He loves you enough that he said, "I'm going to pay a price to get them back." And that price was his only begotten Son. Is that cool? He loves you. God loves you enough that he would put his Son through that torment. And all of us, or a lot of us, have children, and we know what it feels like to have a child. And again, I'm not sure I'd offer my Son up for you. You know, just saying. But the reality is that's exactly what God did. But I just want to take you back for just a moment, and we'll get into the love part. But I want you to understand, you remember when Abraham offered up Isaac? I mean, here was Isaac, his son that was a promise, and God said, "Hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, get a hold of him, take him up, offer him on the burnt offering." You see, that was a picture of what God did with Jesus. But Abraham, watch this, Abraham was obedient, and the obedience to the act of faith was produced love for the rest of us, because through his seed came the promise of Jesus. Now watch this. Again, back in John 3:16. To love, watch this, the word is agapeo. You're not teaching tonight. Thank you. Now watch this. In John 3:16, the word for love is agapeo. And, you know, I've heard it, agape love, and how agape love is the God kind of love. And that's true, yet in the Greek it doesn't say the God kind of love. It just means a love that's unconditional. A love that's dependent on the person who's giving it, not on the person that's receiving it. Okay, but watch this. Agapeo is one of the tenets of that particular word, but it means to love. Now watch this, because I want you to catch this, and I want you to catch this for you tonight. This is God, for God so loved, and you can take the world out of there because you're part of the world, and you can put your name in there. For God so loved Bruce. For God, you know, all of us, we just put our name in there. And to love, to be full of goodwill, and to exhibit the same, to regard the welfare of. Think about that. Have you ever had somebody that was so loved you that their main concern was your goodwill? Or they were so in love with you that the regard for your welfare was more important to you, to them, than even to you themselves. See, that's the kind of love that God has for you. And here's what we do, is we equate our love and God's love with what we do or we don't do. And it goes something like this. Well, if I'm really good, then God loves me. But if I have a bad day, he's not so much in love with me. But the reality is that's not true at all. He loves you. He loves you enough to send Jesus. But when he sent Jesus, and this is so cool, he said, "I didn't come in the world to condemn the world." Now listen to that for just a second. When God thinks of you, he's not going, "She did wrong, I'm going to punish her today." Or, "He did wrong, and you know, there's 40 lashes for him tonight." No, he didn't come to pronounce sentence upon us. He came to pay the price so that sentence would not be executed. Isn't that cool? See, God loves you so much. And we're going to talk about that tonight, just how much God loves you. Because here's what's awesome, is even though we know God loves us, and even if we've got a great revelation of that, I mean, God's really spoken that to our hearts, there's more to it than that. Because remember, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul was praying and he said, I pray that you would know the depth, the height, the width, the breadth. I want you to know it all. Because in that knowledge is the fullness of God. You want to know more of God? You have to personalize it and you have to make it for yourself. God, you love me that much? You really love me that much? I don't know about you, but there's times when I think, you know, I haven't been hitting it exactly right. I'm not operating on all cylinders. I might have, you know, done something wrong or not done this enough or done that enough. And it's almost like, God, I don't even know if you like me anymore. Right? Because of my actions. I don't know if I measure up. I don't know. And the reality is, agapeo means that he is presenting his love to you, not based on you. So it never changes. It never changes. Glory to God. Go with me to First John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I hope you get something tonight. I just pray for all of us that God would open our eyes to this and we'd really begin to see how much His love can affect us to the point where we can be used by Him to show other people. You know, because really, if you really know and you know that you know that you know that God loves you and you're also honest with yourself and you tell yourself that you're not that great, you're not that perfect, right? But you can say, even in spite of me, God loves me. When somebody else, and you go to them and you say, well, God loves you, and they go, you don't understand who I am. You don't understand what I've done. You can say, listen, I know that He loves you in spite of all of those things, because that's His nature. That's what He does. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Really, in the reality of it, love is not something that God does. It's who He is. It's who He is. So when God comes to you, His love is an automatic thing towards you. He is love. And He loves you completely. Verse 9 said, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You know, that doesn't mean get to heaven. You know, there's an expression, man, I want to just be fully alive. I want to truly live. Right? And that's how we should be. And sometimes we just feel like we're so closed off from that. And sometimes it's like, I'm just going through the motions. Is this what life is about? And the reality, life is about knowing that God loves you. And if you can do that, everything else will kind of start to take and come into the right place. Look at verse 10 again. It says, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I don't normally on a daily basis use the word propitiation. I don't know, you guys probably do, you're probably smarter than me, but you know, in our English language we don't. But what that means is that He was the one who was sent to pay the bail that was owed because of the sin that was on us. Propitiation means to pay the price for. Come on, God so loved us, and He said He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I know everybody in here has sinned, right? I mean, everybody in here, and I don't want to raise, you know, don't raise your hand of how many sinned today, because that's not really important. What's important is to know that the price for a sin that you committed in the past, even today or in the future, has already been paid for. It's already been paid for. Have you ever had the experience, and I've had it happen a couple of times, where like you're going through the drive-in or drive-through, or you're eating a meal, you get up to pay the bill, and they said somebody's already covered the bill. Your meal's already been paid for. They paid the price in advance, so I didn't have to pay the bill. Jesus has already done that. He loves you. God loves you so much, He's already taken care of it. This one's on Him. That's so cool. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. It's again getting the picture of what God has done for us that makes it possible for us to turn around and love others. Now there's an interesting verse. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We got a lot of verses today. But it's good to have a lot of the Bible. Amen? Amen. I'm going to have to be a ventriloquist so that I can say amen to myself. chapter 14 and verse 14. And when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, He was moved with compassion for them, and He healed their sick. See, when Jesus saw the multitude and saw the need of the multitude, He was moved with compassion. Now, what is compassion? I believe, and I don't know if I made this definition up or I read it somewhere, but compassion is love in action. Right? It's love doing something to alleviate a situation or something that's going on in our lives. How many know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That means He never changes. He's an exact representative of God. Right? So if He was moved with compassion when He saw the multitude, when He sees you, He's moved with compassion. There's so many promises in the Word of God that are available to us, but we can't have faith in them because we don't believe that we're worthy to receive them because of what we've done or what we've not done. But if we can get a hold of the fact that He loves me and His compassion is toward me, we can come to the place where we say, you know what, this is all on Him, and He loves me just the way I am. And so I can receive from Him just because He's paid the price, just because He's done the work, just because He is who He said He is. Come on. He was moved with compassion and healed your heart. Let me say that again. He was moved with compassion and he healed your past. He healed your pain. He healed even your inadequacies. He paid the price. But we've got to let that sink in and let that become a part of who we are. It's so good. Go to chapter 15 and verse 32. Compassion is an interesting word, but compassion, if I can describe it this way, compassion has the bowels as the source. And what I mean by that is from the center of your being, with all of your heart, love, compassion is coming from the very core of who you are. Bowels of compassion, it means that it's just almost gut-wrenching, the empathy that God has for you and your situations. And the way we tap into it is by knowing that it's for us, and secondly, operating by faith and saying, Lord, I just receive that in Jesus' name. But then we've got to talk ourselves out of the self-condemnation that comes because we know who we are. And we have voices in our past that say, well, yeah, come on. That can't be true. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know what you did. You're not as good as that person over there. Anytime we start comparing ourselves and put ourselves under the microscope of how I compare to somebody else, it absolutely blocks the love of God from fully enveloping us. Because if you want to know the truth, that person that you're putting on a pedestal over there has as many problems as you do. And God doesn't love him any more than he loves you. Because he is love. He can't do anything else. Chapter 15 and verse 32. Now when Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitudes because they have continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint. Faint away. Watch this. He has compassion on your needs. God has compassion on your needs. His love wants to do something about your needs. But again, we block that when we don't see ourselves as lovable. Maybe somebody's told you that you're not lovable, but you can blow raspberries at them when you know that God loves you. Because if I know God loves me, your opinion may count, but not so much. Right? His opinion of me is much more valid than your opinion of me. And again, if we can get consumed with that, it's so good. Go to chapter 20, compassion. From the depths of God's being, he wants his love to be toward you. He wants you to know it. He wants you to operate in it. And he wants you to be consumed by it. He wants you to go around all the time just thinking about, you know, God loves me. God loves me. I'm sad today, but God loves me. I'm happy today, but God loves me. I didn't do very good yesterday, but God loves me. And build that as the core understanding that you have before anything else. You know that God loves me. And he loves me because who he is, not what I do right or I do wrong. He just loves me. And his love for me is so deep. It comes from the core of who he is. With all of his heart, he loves us tonight. He loves you. There's so much security in that. Chapter 20 and verse 34. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Now I know that this is a physical manifestation of healing, and I believe that he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He still heals people today, right? He's moved with compassion and he heals the sick. But watch this. I believe this is also insight into our spiritual life, that God would open our eyes if we'd ask him to. One of the things that I'm doing just personally, I'm going before God and I'm saying, Lord, I don't really know my heart that well. And there are some things that I live out of my life that are probably messed up. Would you show me my heart so that I can change them, so that I can be, you know, more effective in what I do and more effective in just living life? I want to be completely whole so that I can pass that wholeness to other people. So it's like, God, I trust you with my heart because you love my heart just the way it is, but I want you to change it, right? See, he was moved with compassion and he opened their eyes. I believe that God wants to open our eyes. Again, Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that he prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know God. And again, we talked about this Sunday, but the knowing is, okay, I'm aware of it. And then I pop down to pondering it. And then I go down to prioritizing it. And then I go down to really valuing it. And then I go down to owning it. The knowledge of God can't be just, you know, I've heard about it and I'm aware of it. The love of God can't be, I'm aware of it, but I need to think about it. I need to meditate on it. And then after I do that, I need to make it a priority in my life, saying, God, I'm going to walk around with an understanding because you're giving it to me of your love. And then I'm going to own it. This is really mine. And when you own something, it becomes a part of you. And when it's a part of you, then it's just what will come out of you. Can't help it because that's who I am now. Do you get it? So in operating in God's love, we need to come to the place where we're allowing God to overhaul us with our thinking, renewing our mind to what He said, so that we can operate in it in a completely different fashion than we've ever done before. God loves you. God's love towards you. Let's look at a couple of verses in the Psalms. Go to Psalm 78. I hope you all are getting something tonight. Hallelujah. Psalm 78. You know, when I think about my own children, and I love them, you know, I've told you the story, but when my son was born, and really my daughter, the same experience, but when they were put in my hand like this and I looked down at them, my first reaction when my son was born and the nurse handed him to me, I said, God, you love me this much? Because I'd never experienced anything like that before. It was, you know, obviously I had siblings, parents, and I, you know, Renita, and I loved people, but this was something completely different because this was now flesh of my flesh, right? And Renita's flesh of my flesh, but this just at a different level. God, you really love me this much? And He said, more. You have no idea. How is that possible, God? I don't understand. I mean, and even today, there's nothing my children can do to make me stop loving them. Nothing. Nothing. It wouldn't matter what they did. My love to them would be the same. And that's God toward us. Psalm 78, verse 35, I believe. It says, then they remembered God that was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered Him with their mouth and they lied to Him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. I pointed this verse out to say that it doesn't matter what you do. His compassion, because of the covenant that you have through His Son, is for you. He's not going to destroy you because of what you did. Somebody said to me once, they're talking about, well, you know, there's these witches and they're putting curses on you. And I said, it's impossible. How can you curse a man or a woman who's in covenant with Almighty God? Can't. Because His love has made me His son or His daughter. I'm a blessed man. I'm not a cursed man. The blessings of Abraham are mine. So, again, the more we meditate and grow in that, the more that we'll know. Go to Psalm 86. 86. Listen, I just want to give you a little hint that when something really speaks to you, when somebody's giving a sermon or you're listening online or whatever, and there's a point that's pointed toward a scripture and that goes, man, there's something inside. I would really encourage you to circle that, write it down, and then go back and ponder it for a while and say, Holy Spirit, I sense something there. What are you trying to give me? What are you trying, you know? And I believe that He'll do that. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Did you know that He's that for you tonight? Is that for me tonight? Who is God toward me? He's a God who's full of compassion. He loves me from the bottom of His heart. And it's so good. And He's gracious. You know, we're saved by grace, right? But what does that mean? That means out of the abundance of His goodness, just because He wants to, He loves me. And all you can do to a gracious person, if you really want to receive from a gracious person, is say thank you. You don't go to, you know, somebody hands you something, say, listen, God just spoke to me, I'm supposed to buy your lunch. You couldn't do that. I'm not worthy of you buying my lunch. That's okay. Maybe do it for somebody else, but not for me. And what you've just done is you've stepped on their graciousness. What should you do? Well, that is so thoughtful of you. You see, graciousness is not based on you, what you did or didn't do. It's based on the heart of the person that's giving it. And God's grace is over you tonight. He loves you. He wants you to know that. See, and it's so incredible. God loves me that much. And it's because He wants to, not because He has to. Go to Psalms 111. Psalms 111. Hallelujah. Verse 1, it says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear Him, and He will ever be mindful of His covenant. See, He's gracious towards you. He has a covenant with you, and He's ever mindful of it. Sometimes life gets in the way, and we're in the midst of the getting tossed to and fro by the waves. But if we can just stop for a minute and forget about the waves and just concentrate on Him and say, God, I know You love me. I know You love me. Tonight, I know You love me. And if You love me, You'll take care of me. You'll feed me. You'll clothe me. You'll keep me in Your arms. You'll take care of me. It's true tonight. I'm just trying to get you to get in and actually begin to, from your heart, feel the tug of God's love on your heart. Because it's never too late for that. It's never too early to start. Say, God, I know there's more. I know You really love me. And it's not selfish to want to know that God loves you. Why? Because it's the very center point of you being able to love others correctly. Because then He's your example. And God, if I really know that You love me, then I don't have to worry about what others think about me. You got my back. Does that make sense? Come on, He's gracious towards you. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Glory to God. And verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Now see, I don't want you to put this on anybody else tonight. I want you to absorb this into you. Have bad things happened to all of us? Absolutely. Have we caused some things to happen in our lives that wouldn't have happened unless we'd have made some silly decisions? Sure. But the reality is that doesn't matter as far as His love for you is concerned. You have to settle that. Why? Because the enemy will begin to use those circumstances to say, well, see, God doesn't really love you. And it'll come like, well, if God really loved you, He wouldn't have let that happen. See, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Why things happen, I can't give you the answers for all of those, but I trust that God knows. Here's what I know. Have you ever thought this? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? I've had those thoughts. But the minute, watch this, the second that we leave this earth suit, none of those things are going to matter. All we're going to be, He loves you. And He wants you to know it. He said, come boldly before my throne of grace to find help in the time of trouble. Why? Because I love you. I want you here. Tonight, He wants you there. So if your body's not exactly acting right, or your mind may be jumbled, or you know, kids aren't doing right, or so just stop for a minute and say, you know what? I'm just going to sit in the back of the boat for a while and just meditate on the fact that I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hebrews chapter 10, start at verse 15. It says, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, after He said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds I will write them. And then He adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is the remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. It's not needed. It's not needed. But watch it. It said that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us. The Holy Spirit is constantly trying to bring us back to the fact that we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're loved. God wants us to know that He's got us in His hands. Verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Just think about that for just a minute. That almost seems like an impossibility to me. But listen to the words again. He said, therefore, brethren, having boldness. That means confidence. That means having a swagger about yourself. Right? Like Ronnie used to do, right? I got this. Right? And the reality is that's the way we should be with God. I can come into your throne room because I belong there. And I belong there because you love me. Glory to God. He is never, ever, ever, ever too busy for you to come visit. And it's never inappropriate for you to be there. Hallelujah. Tonight, you got to think about that. You got to think about it. It's like sometimes we feel like we're inconveniencing Him, or our this is too petty, or this is too big, or this is too, you know, God, I don't want to bother you with this. He says, come on. Come. Tonight, come. What's going on with you? Come. Come into my throne room. Come into my room where my love can wash over you. Because my grace is towards you. And we can do it. Why? Because we're in covenant with Almighty God. That covenant that was sealed and delivered by the blood of Jesus, whom God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When that happened, we entered into a blood covenant only because of our faith. Even the covenant wasn't struck with us and God. It was between Jesus and God. But we, through Jesus, enter into that covenant. So powerful. By a new and living way which He consecrated us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest in the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, God loved you so much that He sent Jesus. But when He did it, watch this, when He did this, this should be the result in our lives. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, be real with God. Let Him know where you are. Talk to Him like He really is there listening to you, and you can actually express yourself to Him. And He's not going to say, don't think that way. Don't, who are you? He's going to come and He's going to say, I understand. But watch this. He might correct you. He might say, that's not true. That's not who you are. Are you listening to me? And it's kind of, we can come with a full assurance. But watch how we come. With a heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, God has promised this to me tonight. What we've been talking about, this is what God has said about me. I'm coming with a full assurance that that's absolutely true. And then verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God loves me tonight. God loves you tonight. He's promised it, and He's faithful to it. So good. So good. Let's go back to 1 John. We've got to wrap up. But 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 17. Remember, we're talking about, and we've been reviewing the whole aspect of creating a church that's full of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. But the foundation is knowing that we're loved first. And when we're fully convinced of that, it's easy to turn to somebody else and say, so are you. But if you're not convinced of that, you'll filter it through your view of love. And oftentimes it'll be with, he'd love you a little more if you cut your hair a little bit different, right? Or he'd love you a little bit more if you thought more like I do, right? And the reality is, see, what I'm talking to you tonight is the answer for what's going out on the streets, what's going on with racism, what's going on with everything. Because God loves every one of them the same way that He loves me. But the more I can know that He loves me, the more I can honestly, with a true heart, a sincere heart, tell somebody else that He loves them just the same. And if I really know that He values somebody the same way that He does me, then how can I be anything but gracious to them if God's been gracious to me? It's how it works. 17, verse 17 of 1 John chapter 4. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Have you ever thought about the judgment seat of Christ? And in the day of judgment, you thought, But you see, when you go surrounded, protected, baptized into the blood of Jesus, that's your defense for anything that's been wrong. I plead the blood. The blood of Jesus has covered my sins, has taken as far as the east is the west. He won't remember my sins anymore. They're gone. So we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because just like Jesus is, so are we. Whew. Look at this now, verse 18. We've taught on this before, but there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The word perfect is really maturity. See, love has been perfected among us that we may believe. Verse 18, I'm sorry. There is no fear in love, but mature love, or love that's been brought to maturity. When you get a revelation of how much you're loved, fear goes away. Fear can't stand. Fear can't stay. And so what's the antidote for fear? Some people say faith. Yes, but it's actually faith in the love. Faith in how much God loves me. We did this. We did a series a few years ago, probably been 5 years ago now, about fighting fear and getting rid of fear. And one of the steps of getting rid of fear was this. I want you to go around today, tomorrow, the next day, and when any time a thought of fear comes to you, I want you to do this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You feel that? Come on, do you feel that? Well, how long do I do it until the fear goes? Until the loneliness goes? Until you just keep singing it, because mature love casts out all fear. Did you get something tonight? One more thought. If God so loved us, and we become aware of it, then we can be a people who loves others the same way. See? So tonight, when I'm talking about it, next week, we'll be talking about acceptance and really how accepted you are. It's phenomenal. But when you have a full assurance of that, then you can look at somebody else and say, you know, it's just a few steps from them knowing how accepted they can be in His arms and in His house. See? So do you feel loved tonight? There's more. Come on. I believe the anointing is here for that, but there's more. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll go on. Father, we just thank You and praise You tonight. I thank You for everybody that's watching on live stream, Lord. And I just speak to you right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is say, Lord, I've heard about Your love. I want to experience that personally. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive Him as the one who paid the price for my sins. And I'm asking You to come into my heart and to make this love real to me. If you did that, you just got born again. What does that mean? That His Spirit is now dwelling in you. He loves you and He wants to have a relationship with you. Talk to Him. Get into a good church. Come on. If you're around here, this is a pretty good one, I think. And just be blessed. Just be blessed. Love you. God bless you. And we'll talk to you on Sunday. In Jesus' name. Amen.